Could not allow his fear to stop him, because he had the courage to stand up for what was right and to stand up against what was wrong, which says to us this morning, if we're going to whip our bullies, we're going to need some courage as well. Yet I know how fearful it can be to confront painful issues and problems, and also confront problem people. I know about the fear that rests in the pit of the stomach, the gnawing aches that warns you that things are about to get bad. I know about that, but I also know that when the moment to face the bullies come, the Lord will give you the courage you need to stand up for him against any bully. I know it probably won't be easy to face our bullies in life, but this is one thing I need you to remember, and that is the Lord says in Hebrews 13:5, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says in Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, he said, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, shall not be burned, neither shall the flames kindle up on you. He promised in Isaiah 54:17 that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you and you in judgment shall be condemned. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is to me, said the Lord. The Bible also says in Romans 8:37, and all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. And so, my brothers and sisters, we must let these promises and a thousand more besides this give us the courage we need to face the bullies in our lives. Because without courage, the bullies will never be faced, and thus they will never be defeated. And so David was a shepherd. And being a shepherd, he picked up the tools of a shepherd, which was his shepherd's bag, his sling, and he went out to meet Goliath. And on his way, Brother Jones, he stopped by the brook, and he chose them 5 smooth stones. Because David had the conviction that bullies aren't defeated by weapons, or by tactics of men. And so it was David's courage and conviction that gave him the confidence, according to verse 41 through 54, because David walked out to face that bully that day with absolute faith that he would walk back with the victory. My brothers and sisters, David has such faith in God that as he's going toward the giant, he's running to meet him. And as he runs, he reaches into his shepherd bag and he takes out a single stone and he put it in his sling. And you can just about see David as he began to wind up his sling. And then he slung that stone at Goliath. And that stone hit him directly between the eyes and sinks into his forehead. And the bullet is dead even before it hit the ground. And to be sure, David runs to that fallen body of the bully. And he draws Goliath's sword and cut off the bully's head. And the Israelite soldiers, inspired by David's faith and courage, joined the battle, and they began to pursue the Philistines. And so David walks off the battlefield with the bully's sword in one hand and the bully's head in the other, according to verse 54. My brothers and sisters, what a victory. And so as I try to move to the close, y'all just try to stay with me now. I know you're getting drowsy. What was it that made this victory possible? Was it David's ability with a sling? David's power? Or was it his skill as a warrior? No, but the secret to David's success, I heard somebody say, was his faith. His faith in the Lord. David believed and God handed David the victory, because in the same way, we will never defeat our bullies in our own power. And so we need not even try. But we can and will defeat them through the power of faith, by putting our bullies in the hands of God and by trusting him to give us the victory over them all. Because faith in God is the key to victory in all the battles we face in life with our bullies. Well, how do I know that is God's will for bullies to be defeated? Because the Bible says in John 8:36, he said, if the Son therefore makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Because the Lord didn't save us to be defeated in hell and bondage by bullies, but he saved us to set us free to live a new life of victory for the glory of God. It worked for David, and I tell you, it will work for you. So in closing, whatever or whoever the bullies may be in your life, I tell you, you need to get some courage, and you need to step out on faith and face that bully, yes, that's in your life. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Ain't God all right? I'm talking about Jesus, the one who hung, bled, and died on an old rugged cross. Jesus, yes, the one who laid in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights. And I'm imagining in my mind, when Jesus was in the grave, Satan was laughing, him and his demons was having a good time, because they believed that they had defeated our Lord. But Jesus' body laid and stayed in the grave, but his spirit went down in the hell, and he took the keys away from the devil. And the Bible says that the dead began to walk the street. Ain't God all right? And bright early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. Yes, he defeated old Satan, that bully that's always bullying you and me. But if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, I tell you, he will direct your path. Yes, we have problems many times with bullies everywhere. There's bullies in the church. There's bullies in the home. There's bullies in the school. But that's all right. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Ain't God all right? Yes, he's all right. Don't let your bullies control your life. Amen. Stand up for what's right. Don't be afraid to stand up for what's right. You don't care what the bully think. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to let the Lord use you, no matter what the bully think. Amen. Because bullies are there just to intimidate you. But you can overcome any bully. Amen. In the power of faith. Hello. In the name of Jesus.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
Is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel radio serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
Welcome to the Zion Hill Church Family Broadcast, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Joy Dara, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's Z-I-O-N-H-I-L-L.com. Now, let's join the broadcast, already in progress.
I want to talk with you for a few minutes on the subject titled, How to Deal with a Spirit of Delay. How to deal with a spirit of delay. In the passage I just read to you, you probably notice how David is asking questions repeatedly. How long? How long? How long? David asked the question, Lord, how long are you going to forget me? Lord, how long are you going to hide your face from me? Lord, how long are you going to let me have sorrow in my heart? David asked the question, how long will you allow my enemy to be exalted over me? Those questions are concerns of delay. So I don't want to assume that we all know what delay means. So I want to start out by defining it before I share with you how you can deal with delays in your life. Part of the pastor's job is to equip the saints and to make disciples. A disciple is somebody who is well trained, not just getting saved. After you are saved, you got to mature in the Lord. What is delay? Delay is having life without motion. When you see yourself living, but there's no movement in your life, you're experiencing a delay. It is when a life is marked with lack of movement, lack of progress, lack of success. Many times what you're facing is a spirit of delay. Delay is when nothing in your life is growing except your age. I'm trying to help somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, delay is what causes a person to be admired but not celebrated. Let me explain that. I like to keep things simple. You can be very beautiful, and all men admire you, but no one wants to marry you. I'm talking about delay. Let me help somebody more. You can be a good preacher, anointed, eloquent, but your church never grows. Nobody wants to hear you. You're dealing with a spirit of delay. You can be a good singer. We are blessed with good singers in this church, you know, in this ministry. When you find yourself the only one listening to your own song, you have a gift, all right, but the spirit of delay is dancing on your gift. Are you still here this morning? You'll be amazed how many people know they are called. They know they are chosen. They know they are anointed. But delay is refusing progress, forward movement. You cannot receive what belongs to you because a spirit called delay is in the way. Ladies and gentlemen, that's like when you find yourself, you fix the door in your house and then the window breaks down. Maybe I'm just talking to my own self this morning. You fix the washer, now your vehicle won't work. The car breaks down. Those of you who are lawyer, delay is when you work so hard to go to school, you get your license, but you have no clients. Try to help somebody. There is a spirit in this world called a spirit of delay. Delay is an enemy of progress. Delay is an enemy of prophecy. I hate the spirit of delay with passion. It's a spirit that says no to your promotion on the job. It's a spirit that says no to your elevation. It's a spirit that says no to you getting married. You want to be married. You desire to be married. But you can't get nobody. Delay is a spirit that will cause you to work so hard, but yet you are struggling regularly in your finance. Can you handle the truth this morning? Then I need to let you know, delay has a brother. It's called stagnation. Hey, don't turn me off. So many pastors need to hear this. You're pastoring, but there's no growth. Stagnation. We must identify this enemy, and we must understand how it operates, and we have to deal with that enemy. Take note, until you deal with the spirit of delay in your life, it will not leave. It's a stubborn spirit. And when you don't stand up to delay spirit and you don't confront that enemy, it can become a denier. In other words, an enemy that you don't identify, that you don't understand, can never be conquered in your life. That's why the Bible says, all you're getting, get understanding. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, many of us in the church house, we are saved, we're on our way to heaven, but we don't know how to work the scripture. It's like shooting blanks. And the reason why we are shooting blanks is because we are fighting an enemy that we have not identified, that we don't understand, and we don't know how to deal with it. Please permit me, for education purposes, you need to know there are two types of delays. Come on, sir. How many did I say? Number one, there's what we call divine delays. I've been taking time to teach you about when God caused delay. And I told you it will cause delays sometimes to prepare you for your blessing, to prepare you for your miracle. Divine delay may occur sometimes just to mature you. A dangerous child of God is somebody who's whooping and hollering and don't know nothing about living in victory. Sometimes God uses divine delay also to train you for your assignment. I've shared with you many times examples in the word of God. If you remember Abraham, God had a blessing coming for him, a child, but he waited 25 years. Delay. Isaac came along. Before Isaac could have a child, he waited 20 years. I've told you these things. In your Bible, you will see about how Jacob wanted a pretty girl called Rachel, and he had to work for 14 years. Delays. Delays. But just like we have divine delays, you need to know also we have a second type of delay called demonic delays. That's the spirit I'm going after this morning. Because when God calls delay, it's for your good. But when the devil calls delay, it's for your destruction. You can tell there's a demonic delay when you pray for something and you got no answer. You ask for miracle and God is working out your miracle, but the devil interrupts or the devil intercepts. Can I have some of you pastors come here? I got to keep this thing simple. Come here, pastor. Come, another person, come here, somebody. It is very important that you understand the anointing upon your pastor is to keep it simple. I teach in a school. Students rush to sign up in my class, not because I'm very good looking, but they know he will keep it simple. In fact, I hope I don't get my students in trouble. They have learned. They don't even need textbook because they know this man will break it down to the level that anybody can understand. You need to understand how the kingdom of God. Just imagine this man here is God.
Amen.
All right? I hate to make you a devil.
Glory.
Just imagine that this man here is the devil. Okay? Let's say that this woman of God here is a human being praying to God for blessings, for miracle, for healing, or whatever you are here, you're praying for.
Yes.
Now, when she prays, she will pray to God. There are realms. God lives in a realm called heaven. The Bible says heaven is his throne. The earth is his footstool. So he's in heaven. Look where home girl is. On earth, that's another realm. So when she prays to God, the way God will send the healing you believe in God for, the money you believe in God for, he will grab an angel. These are messengers. And he will send an angel to bring the blessing to earth where you live. But this place where the angel have to cross through is called the celestial realm. So you got heaven as a realm, you got earth as a realm, and then we have the celestial realm that this angel have to pass through to get to Sister Girl.
All right.
Guess what the devil will do?
All right.
The devil will send a demon.
All right.
I need a demon. All right. Nobody wants to be a demon. Thank you, my sister.
Amen.
The Bible is so simple.
Amen.
I tell my children all the time, you cannot live in my house and miss God. The devil will send a demon to come and confront the angel. So there's a battle going on in this celestial realm. Many of you, you pray for something. You better listen to this preacher. You pray for something and you think God didn't hear you. God has answered your prayer. Your miracle is on the way. I don't know who I'm preaching to. Your blessing is on the way. Your healing is on the way. Your promotion is on the way. Your breakthrough is on the way. But here comes the devil with his angel. And they got to fight it out. If you miss it, that's what the book of Daniel just explained to you. Daniel prayed. God answered. And God sent the answer. But the devil sent a demon to fight the angel. The name of that angel is Gabriel. So here Daniel is thinking, God don't care. Some of you have been talking to me on the phone. Sometimes I want to hang up on you for lack of understanding.
Amen. Amen.
You cannot be a part of this ministry and you say you don't understand the word of God. God has answered your prayer. Even before you speak. Ah, mama, raka senda ya. He may not come when you want him. But he's always going to be on time. So every Daniel of this world, you need to know your prayer has been answered, but there's a war going on in the celestial realm. This is the prince of Persia. The Bible told you the name of that demon. The Bible told you the name of the angel. And then the fight was so tough that Gabriel had to call for backup. Guess what he called for? Another angel by the name Michael. Because Gabriel is a messenger, not a fighter. But Michael... I feel like fighting already. Jesus. I wish I get time to explain to you, your pastor is the angel of this house. Oh, I will fight. Don't be fooled by this three-piece suit. This Negro will yank this mess up and beat them. Ooh, help me, Holy Ghost. So, my message to you is that God answers prayer. It is the devil that caused delays. Say, I got it. Thank you, brothers and sisters. So when you are facing a spirit of delay, don't justify it. Don't make excuses for it. Please take note that I call it a spirit. I did not say you're facing delay. I said you're facing a spirit of delay. Because, like I just shared with you, there is the spirit realm, but there is the physical realm. A lot of what we are facing, a lot of trials, a lot of temptations, a lot of tribulations we face is a spiritual battle. How did I know? Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What we are really wrestling with are principalities. Am I still in the book? Powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. So is the spirit behind the delay that you got to deal with? Say, I got it. Let me help you more. This is what Paul was talking about. Paul said, I do want to come to you. There were many doors open, but there were adversaries that was blocking the way. So those church folks, they were waiting on Reverend Paul to come and visit and preach and do a revival, and he no show. So they said, what's up, Rev? And Paul said, look, I do want to come. There are many doors open in your city, but there are adversaries. Spirit of delay in the way. That's what happened to Daniel also. He prayed 21 years ago. God has answered the prayer. But there's a spirit of delay in the celestial realm. Demons can hinder your progress. Demons can hinder your movement. When you are living a life and something that's supposed to take few days is now taking months, you're facing a spirit of delay. When you're working on a project, something that's supposed to take a few years, maybe 4 or 5 years, now it's taking 20 years, you're facing a spirit of delay. I don't know if you all can handle it. You know, I've been trying to build, lead this church to build a space for young people. Guess what we're dealing with? You got to understand. You got to know your Bible. Those who know their God, the book of Daniel say, those are the people that will do exploit. The devil know. Here is a church on the hill trying to keep the children off the street. The devil knows. Here is a ministry in a little town called Pineville trying to keep young people out of jail. Do you think he's going to sit there and watch that happen? He will send a demon to the celestial realm and fight every angel that God's going to use to make it happen. But I stop by to tell somebody, be encouraged. I am fully persuaded. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. He who started the good work in you is able to finish it. Open your mouth, shout amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to identify that demon called delays, and you got to deal with it. Let me give you some example. In the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verse 13, God showed up, true story, God showed up to Abraham. He said, my friend, you need to know your children will become stranger in a foreign land, and they will be made slaves for how long? 400 years. Can you read? Make sure that's in your Bible. Then you keep on reading. You go to the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 40. Then the Bible recalls that it did happen. The people of Israel found themselves in Egypt land. They became slaves, but guess how long they stayed there? 430 years. Can you do the math? God said 400. They end up staying there for 430 years. 30 more years. There's a spirit called delay. And there's a reason why, if you don't know how to identify that demon and know what to do with it, it will break your heart. I wish I had time to really explain the word of God. The Bible said 120 years is what he's given to man. Let me help you out. Your handle, serious matter. I decided I got to go beyond just hooping and hollering and teach the word of God. The first 30 years of your life is preparation. I don't have time to explain that, but you need to remember Jesus Christ did not do a thing until he was 30 years old. Even David, he was anointed at 15, but he did not become king until he was 30 years. The first 30 years of your life, somebody shout preparation. From day one to 30, God is preparing you. From age 30 to 60, that's building season of your life. That's when you build a career, you build a business, you build something. Then from age 60 to 90, that's when you begin to rest. From 90 to 120, that's when you have every right to say, I'm coming home. Why should you die before your time? Now you're getting good understanding. Now you see why I make you sing happy birthday to people who are 90 years old or more. Because they've been through a season. Many of you right now, you're in a season to be building. But you're doing nothing with your life. You're waiting on the government to take. You better. Jesus, help me. Help me, Holy Ghost. What government? What do they know that can top the power of God in your life? So 30-year delay for the Israelite is a whole lot of time. A spirit of delay can cause you to miss your blessing. Every one of you here, you probably can tell when something is wrong in your life. You probably can tell when something ain't right in your family. Because the devil don't want you to know the truth. heaven can agree with you and say yes to your prayer, but a spirit of delay will try to mess that up. In fact, I will submit to you, there are many destinies that have been derailed by spirit of delay. Too many. How you know these things? You ever seen people every year, they will say, this is my year. This is my year. And then the whole year, now we're in November. There's only one more month left. The Negro have... nothing to show for it. He's been dealing with a spirit of delay all year. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why David asked the question. How long? I finally get to my sermon. How long? How long will my suffering remain? Somebody is asking this morning. By this time, I should not be single. How long? By this time, I should not be homeless. How long, Lord? By this time, the pastor just explained to me what season of life I'm in. I know my age. I know where I am. Why am I still catching a ride at 60 years old? How long will I be living in an apartment? And I'm in my 70s. Ooh, glory. Let me quickly give you some answers because of time. Can you handle this? Let me explain things to you how things work in the natural. Let me fix my dress first. I want to be good looking on television. They don't make preachers like this anymore. Oh, glory. Let me just explain some spiritual answers to you. Ladies and gentlemen, watch this. The spirit world is like dealing with a door. You hear the Bible talks about the door of your heart. Jesus called himself the door. Some translation will say the way. You need to know there are different ways to access a door. Some doors you need the keys. Am I telling the truth? And you know, I wish I had time to break this down further. Some people have keys, but they don't have enough sense to. Jesus. But there are some doors that you don't need keys to get in. You just need a sensor. The doors that require just a sensor, you don't need to be walking around dangling with a bunch of keys. You just need to be close. Just a closer walk with thee. Granny Jesus, if you please. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be. Once you get close to that door, the door will sense your presence. And guess what the door will do? It will open. The reason why many of us stay defeated by the devil, because we never get close to a door that has a sensor. In the spirit, you better listen to this man. I ain't playing with nobody no more. That's, see, when you get to my age, I'm 65. I just told you season. I'm in a season that I don't have time for games no more. You cannot be serving God and come to church only when you feel like it. And then you're wondering, why? How long is going to be? You got to move close to the door so that the door, his name is Jesus, he can sense your presence. Thank you, Pastor. And the door will soon wide open. It happened in the book of Acts chapter 12. Peter was locked up in jail. When the angel removed the shackles, said, you can leave now. And Peter is walking, and then he noticed, oh, Lord, there's a big door there. I don't know if you ever been to jailhouse. I've been there, got to see my clients, you know. And there's a strong iron door, and you stand in front of you. And Peter said, oh, Lord, I can't go no further here. But by the time he gets to the door swing wide open. There are some doors that all they need is to sense your presence. That's why the Bible says anyone that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall do what? Abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The songwriter says, I'm going to stay under the blood, not at the casino. You better stay under the blood, not at the light nightclub. You better stay under the blood. Then in the world can do you. I don't know about you, I'm just testifying what I'm going to do. You cannot get me to be a part of any mess. I'm going to stay under the blood. I'm going to stay under the blood. I'm going to stay. Joshua was talking about when he said, as for me and my house. You can talk to them who live with me. There's no room to compromise God. We're going to serve God. Some of you have gift to sing, you're not in the choir. Some of you have gift to teach, you're not teaching nobody. You are not spiritually employed. You just come to church to use God. Like fast food, you want to show up, get what you can, and can what you... You are not close to the door. The door cannot sense your presence, and the door remains locked. Can you handle this truth? There's a third kind of door. The only way you can open it, you got to have cold. Am I right about it? 99% of my teachings, my ministry, is about giving you codes. spiritual codes for you to rule and reign on this planet Earth, for you to be a good ambassador. Heaven is our home. He sent you and me here as an ambassador for Christ. He said you are the salt of this earth. You are the light of this world. Let that light so shine among men that people will see your good work. They may not like you, but they have to respect you. The question this morning, do you have the code to deal with spirit of delays? See, my time is up. I'm going to give you quick codes. Pay attention. The first code, ladies and gentlemen, that you need to deal with a spirit of delay is to look unto Jesus. Did you hear what I said? The book of Psalms 34 verse 5 says, they look unto him and they were never ashamed. Don't forget what I just told you. When you sense a delay in your life, or you sense a delay messing with your children, or sense a delay on your job, everybody's moving up, but they're overlooking you. The code, number one, look unto Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. He is the author. That's right, Pastor. He is the finisher. And nobody can step over you when God is on your side. What do I say is the code? To be looking unto Jesus means you focus. You focus on him. You rely on him. You depend on him. Through sickness, through pain, through the storm, through the rain, it don't matter what's going on. You focus on God. Say, I got it. I don't have time now, but you have to read when you get home. There's a story in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, beginning from verse 4. Let me tell you in a nutshell what happened. The people of God, they were traveling in the wilderness, and they got to a neighborhood called Edom. Guess what happened? The people were tired. How long will it take for us to get to the promised land? You told us it's not too far. You told us it's just 14 days. Now we've been working for years. Many of you Christians, you're a child of God. You're destined to your promised land, but you're facing a spirit of delay. The people got tired. They get hungry. They get angry. Guess what they start to do? They start to complain. They were complaining against God. They were complaining against the pastor. Some of you, you can't even look me in the face because that's, you're guilty of that. You're complaining about me. And you know I don't pay you no attention anyway. Because I'm not going to change. I'll stay with the word of God. Guess what God did? It's in your Bible. That's why I asked you to read it. God sent a snake. They were all beaten. Every whiner, every complainant. Shut up! All of a sudden, they realized, you don't touch God's anointed. You don't do his prophet no harm. The good news for the Israelites, they repented. Some of you, the only reason your ministry is not growing, you're jealous and envy of the people God is blessing. Hey, don't turn me off. Now they repent. That's what we all need to do, from the pulpit to the pews. And then God said, okay, since that you repent, we're going to fix this. God gave instruction to Moses, the pastor. Make you a brass serpent and put that serpent on a pole. I wish I had time to explain. That pole represents the cross. That serpent represents Christ, the Savior. But I don't have time for that. But God told them, any one of you that will look up to that serpent shall be healed. Yeah. What's the first code I told you to do? Look unto Jesus. It don't matter what's going on in your life right now. Stay your focus on the Lord. Let me give you a few more calls. I'm out of time. I'm on extra time now. I know it. Code number two. Guess what you need to do? Don't allow a spirit of offense to get in your way. Matthew chapter 11, verse 6. A spirit of offense can mess you up. Quickly, let me tell you what's going on. John the Baptist, you all know his story. He was arrested, locked up in jail. And now they're about to kill him. They're about to cut his neck. He was offended. You know why he was offended? Because Jesus never came to see him. Don't allow a spirit of offense to rob you of your miracle. Oh, the church didn't do nothing for me. Oh, the pastor didn't come to see me. You're not serving the pastor. I hope you don't. Because you'll be in bigger trouble. I won't even serve my own self. I need a savior just as much as you do. You know what? Why John was wrong? He was so offended, he sent message to Jesus. He said, are you the real Savior we're looking for? Or do we need to look for somebody else? That's what a spirit of offense will cause to you. But think about it. This was the same John who identified Jesus and told everybody, this is the Savior. Now he's now asking, are you the Savior? This was the same John who ordained Jesus Christ. See, some of these preachers here, I'm the one who licensed them. I'm the one who ordained them. Wouldn't it not be stupid for me to say, are you really called? This was the same John who told everybody, this Jesus is so mighty, I'm not even big enough to untie his shoe. That's what a spirit of offense will do to you. When you're facing delay, you need to know delay is not denial. Don't get offended that your coworker get promoted and you left. Don't trip out, don't freak out that your choir member is now get a ring and a finger and you don't have one yet. And you look at yourself, you see, I'm more good looking than her. And you're probably telling the truth. Don't look at your neighbor. Today we're in a spiritual lab. A spirit of offense will rob you of your miracle. This is why Matthew